Letter to Claudia Bush, February 16, 1975. 4-176. Dear Claudia, now herewith, I'm enclosing 9 strange pages I wrote a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't intended to show them to anyone. They are the carbons on notes I made for a novel, and are very personal, since at the time I thought I and only I would be reading them. However, although it will show how really wild my inner life is, as if you hadn't suspected, it will give you something to go on, re my metaphysic. Remember, these 9 pages were done before the recent series of letters I've sent you, so regard them in correct chronological order, if you will, by mentally backdating. However, since they are notes for an actual novel, no shuck, I think you will appreciate them, as they show first how the general idea came to me, a time dysfunction, that this idea is based on an actual experience of mine, how as soon as I had the handle to the idea, I turned it ad hoc into a novel idea, then into a plot. The sequence of these pages is authentic, Claudia. They show my normal procedure, the order in which these processes occur to me. For example, the title coming to me almost at once, e.g., to scare the dead in this case. Claudia, when I started writing these 9 pages, on page 1, I did not have the idea for the novel. You will see it all at once, out of nothing in a way, and yet based on everything in my head, a year of happenings and research and thought, suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, there it is. Nothing was premeditated before I sat down to write these. Thus, you will have here a genuine record of how I always go about my work. This is the paradigm for me, for my MO. I hope you will get out of it what I know to be there, idea into novel, idea out of my life, hence novel out of my life. And so then, perhaps at long last, you will see for yourself, maybe better than anyone else ever has, the exact lines of relationship between my life and my work. Enough said, and so to mailbox. Except I wish to add this. On one of these enclosed 9 pages is a bit about Zeus Zagreus, and a quote about protecting those who, etc. This is what I heard in a dream. I saw before me a few sentences from the New Testament, which included the name Jesus. Then this was shown me, I'm not kidding you, the name or word Jesus was drawn open, literally reached down into and opened, to reveal that it was a crypt morphosis, a code word, made up to conceal first the actual name of the god, which was Zagreus, and then the word was reshuffled to show that Zeus was within it too, so that Zeus and Zagreus were within, the being, the ontology, a mere code cover, or what they call plain text cipher, Jesus. In the early days, the Christians who read the plain text would know what Jesus actually referred to, and then I heard the oral explanation, which was by way of telling me why help from Zeus Zagreus, Jesus, had come to me in March 1974. It showed me that John Allegro is right. The New Testament is a cipher. But Claudia, this message, Zeus Zagreus, is the true name of the Father, Son, God we worship? What a vast secret, and how well kept. Note, John Allegro, 1923 to 1988, was a controversial British Dead Sea Scroll scholar and author of The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, 1970, which argues on linguistic evidence that Christianity began as a psychedelic mushroom, Amanita muscaria cult. End note. I really urge you to go to the New Britannica and read the article in the Macro on mystery religions and all other references about them, like in the article Sacraments et al. Christianity is a Greek mystery religion which developed logically, step by step, out of those which came before it. After Jesus' death, the next great step was Paul. After that, the pagan writer Plotinus, not the Catholic Christian Church, It was Neoplatonism which carried Jesus' true esoteric doctrines on, which before Jesus came out of the Orphic Mysteries and so on back, especially to Zagros. That all this had to be encoded was because of the Roman-Jewish opposition to Greek mystery cults, since several of those cults had conspired, were continually conspiring, to overthrow the tyranny of Rome. Does this not tie it up with my March experience, insights, and activities? Enclosure, Letter to Claudia Bush, February 16, 1975, 4-179. A time dysfunction, taking the form of splitting. A person has been here, and knows he has been here. The forward flow has not been interrupted, but also he has the acute sense that he has just been somewhere else, at another time. He retains no direct evidence of that serial cortical memories of events, but nonetheless, he retains all the secondary impressions, that the atmospheric pressure is now different, which might be autonomic or somatic registering of a change. There are manifold retentions of prior impressions outside the field of conscious awareness, i.e., although he doesn't remember in the ego sense, his entire mind-body remembers and cannot shake off these retentions of vivid, shortly prior differences in environment. The body cannot adjust that fast, even if conscious memory is eradicated. Amnesia, whether an accident or calculatedly induced, could not extend throughout the entire body and nervous system by any sort of override. All I had was an enormous set of conditioned responses, learned reflexes, which were not appropriate to this environment, time and space matrix, but evidently had just been quite recently appropriate to another time-space matrix. I could infer its aspects from them. This goes back to time out of joint, and what gave me the idea for it originally, a conditioned response no longer appropriate and unaccountable for. Nothing prior that happened to me gave such distinct impressions of a time dysfunction as the March Rome one, which would seem to confirm that to me and for me, and then put in my writing, smaller, easier to absorb time dysfunctions, had in truth taken place virtually unnoticed. And certainly too small as to give a clue as to the other time-space matrix, i.e. to compare the what is to the what had been. This was so massive, but perhaps qualitatively the same. I suppose it is possible that these are not dysfunctions, though but deliberate adjustments, a la adjustment team, in the process of continual creation, which would account for my sense of the holy other in charge when this major dysfunction took place. What I call a separate entity in my mind is simply the subsystem dissociated, split off with its own memory of that antique time period. It is a second ego, disjunctive from mine except in sleep, and especially in hypnagogic sleep. If each of us is basically a field entelechy, then it would be this field entelechy, which moved retrograde in time, lost synchronization with the body, which continued to move forward, propelled by the rest of the universe. Enough to Scare the Dead. Working book title. The novel plot. Non-SF, a businessman, who is totally part of the present materialistic U.S. L.A. culture, all at once has the field entelechy, soul, of a 2nd century A.D. Essene come to life, resurrection, in his head, to be there along with his own, in fulfillment of the promise which Jesus Christ made, plus Paul, etc., or just to scare the dead. Plot idea. And there are others like him, a Christian resurrected underground. Note. The concept of an underground revolutionary Christian church occurs frequently in the exegesis and is essential to understanding Dick's conception of Christian theology. His is not the institutional conservative church, but the early persecuted apostolic community. Dick gravitates toward rebellious Christian thinkers like Joachim of Fiore, Martin Luther, and George Fox, and his conception of the Black Iron Prison, the empire that symbolizes all injustice, owes more than a little to the apostolic prophetic depiction of Rome as Babylon. Dick's emphasis on the Holy Spirit draws on the book of Acts, which depicts the Spirit's protection of the early church from its persecutors. But this emphasis also puts him in the territory of anti-authoritarian religious and millenarian movements like the Wacomites, the Brethren of the Free Spirit, and the early Quakers. For Dick, true Christianity implies or even requires a subversive attitude. As long as persecution and oppression are possible, the true church exists within the resistance to that oppression. GM. End note. They could even link up. Be sure to have the fish necklace girl disinhibit him, evidently deliberately. These first Christians who've come back, they don't just sit around. Plot. Protag goes through these stages in order to understand. 1. Reincarnation. Discards. This is an occult explanation. 2. A scientific one. The Kozyrev dysfunction. And then any other explanations. 3. And final one, which he sticks with, the Christian religious one, the resurrection into mortal life in the period of restoration, prophesied by the Bible, the time of Elijah. Plot. He is mystified by the fierceness of this entity, its pursuit of justice. He thought Christ and the Christ consciousness and perfected souls were meek and mild like the Lamb. But as he reads Revelation, he learns how when Christ returns the next time, it is as judge and king, not as sacrificial lamb. This computes. It is Christ reborn, all right, but Christ as he really is. The wraps off to defeat the tyranny, the prince of the world in decisive battle, versus dream in tears. To keep this from being merely a religious type tract book, the body of it, most of it, should concern the science part. An outright scientific, maybe university lab with equipment, measuring devices, to measure his new bioplasmic electrostatic field, etc., plus scientific personnel. Even government people looking into it? The saucer people, as well as other cultists, should be ill-described in the book. By making it empirically testable in a lab by guys in white smocks with clipboards and electronic test gear, it becomes real to the reader. The job the protag has, ostensibly, he's in the record biz, down here in Burbank, but for him, that's a front. In fact, the small label he works for is a front, for U.S. Counter, looking into protest-type dissident entertainers, such as Joni would be. Note. Possibly Joan Baez. End note. So draws two salaries. Has two hats or roles. His nightmares about dying in a cage in Rome under the Colosseum, helpless, like a small mammal, is not a memory of his own of a former life, but how that early Christian died. He died meekly then, but has not returned to so die at all this time. Opening. Protag versus Supra shows during the source of his week a number of different unrelated, evidently miraculous powers, such as dematerializing the Vanquish tablets. Why? Suspense novel, written backward. What is the explanation for his supernatural powers? Why does he have them, and what links them to one another in meaning? Like the angelic angleworm, even the thread which links these powers should elude the reader, let alone why he has them, and what can, will he achieve by having them? For plot purposes. 1. He shows these mysterious talents, which he himself can't fathom, and he never had them before. 2. Then after this, government agents begin to monitor him. 3. The government agents, or whoever, anyhow, soldiers in business suits, close in on him in some sort of complex trap. And this is when the holy other in him surfaces and takes over to totally defeat the trap. 4. From then on, he has this holy other living within his head, not in place of him, but with him. 5. It would appear to be the government theory that he is, or more precisely, has been invaded by an entity from another star system. The fact that he is a government agent employee himself doesn't help him. In this area, where they believed Earth had been invaded by ETIs, the U.S. and USSR would be working together. These government agents could be an international team. For instance, he could get next to a typical L.A. saucer cult group, like that Peter guy, and find left-wing hip types there, and encounter the Soviet member of this counterintelligence group, the same group in that environment, with Afro hairdo, sandals, etc., but also a cop, this time a soldier in a sari. How about as a plot? Shock moment, he comes home, finds his house hit, files blown open, papers ransacked and stolen. They are trying to find out what he's up to, what he knows, any notes he's jotted down. Zeus Zagreus, Jesus, puts under his protection all who stand between the perfect kingdom and those persons who would destroy, nibble away at it, i.e., those who try to press inward or reduce its boundaries. These theories in order. 1. Occult, reincarnation. 2. Space people, saucer, ETI. 3. Russian ESP mind control of U.S. 4. Science, the Kozyrev dysfunction. 5. Resurrection of early Christian. 2 and 3 could be in reverse order. 5. Is the true view. Zagreus is the ancient vine root, which is cut back each year, but then is reborn each year, which is eternal. The name Jesus in the New Testament hides first the name Zagreus, but most of all, Zeus. Our comprehension, understanding of time is faulty. There seem to be two distinct kinds of time at right angles to each other. Horizontal time, as the form regressions follow in Ubik, and vertical, which we seem aware of alone. Hence, cubic time, or time seen in both axes simultaneously, like cubic space versus two-dimensional, i.e., time moving in two directions, dimensions, at once. Events are arranged within this cubic space, or rather time, as objects are in cubic space. They move along the vertical axis, I guess. They move naturally, as if falling, equal to the natural pull of gravity on objects. This is the ordinary time flow forward. But along another axis, they can be arranged deliberately, outside the free-fall vertical flow, if you can perceive that axis. If not, all events are stuck inexorably in sequence, or cause and effect, yin versus free will or yang. It's entirely possible that this other time axis, horizontal time, is retrograde, an opposed time direction, which together with the forward flow creates cubic time, an Empedoclean dialectic of time forces, which create, by their interaction, equilibrium. Note: Empedocles is mentioned throughout the exegesis, along with other pre-Socratic thinkers, notably Heraclitus and Parmenides. Empedocles wrote two works, both lost, one on nature and the other called Kathermoi, or Purifications. In a fragment of the latter, addressing himself to the citizens of Akragas in Sicily, Empedocles declares himself an immortal god, no longer a mortal, held in honor by all. In the end, Empedocles both rejected and was rejected by the people and threw himself in despair into Mount Etna in the hope of being transformed into a god. Sadly, a sandal was thrown out of the volcano in confirmation of his mortality. One suspects some identification between Dick and Empedocles, where the latter declares himself divine and is persecuted for his hubris. SC. End note.